Hi, it's Devlin, and welcome to episode 2 of Audio Secrets, lifting the veil on recorded audio stories. So, I hope you've had a good week. I do like our sit-downs at the end of the week, all the recording done for the time until Monday morning, and then it's all back to normal again. But this time, it's just us. It's nice. So, this week, I want to tell you all about audiobooks. Well, I wouldn't say all. Yeah, this is going to be a brief introduction into what happens in the production of an audiobook, at least from my angle, at least from my side. So, if you've any questions after, then drop me an email. Or if you've got any questions about the audio world generally, just drop me an email at devlin@devlinwild.com. And I will do my best to answer. I'm not saying I will be able to answer, but I'll give it a go. So let me just get comfortable. So when an author or an agent first sends me the manuscript for a book, the first thing I do is a read-through. I actually do 3 read-throughs. The first one is for what we call the narrator's voice. Now, the narrator's voice isn't a character. It's the general theme of the story, the mood of the story. Do you want it dark and mysterious? Do you want it sexy and fun? Do you want it full of thrills and spills? And that's the narrator's voice. It's the narrator's voice that creates that ambience, if you like, throughout the story. The second read-through are for the characters. Now, these will be different to the narrator's voice, and dependent on the author is how important this is. Some authors don't like it at all. I'm doing a psychological thriller series at the moment, and the author wants absolutely no characterization. She just wants it so it sounds like I'm sat reading to you. She likes that personal approach. Now, for other authors, this isn't what they want. They want more of a theatrical demonstration. So if an author doesn't want characterization, then this bit gets dropped out completely. But if they do want characterization, then I have to read through the book and I pick out the main characters. And from the clues I get within the book, I give them a personality. Now, this can be... Well, this can be as complex or as simple as the book allows. You can give it depth. It's fun time. It gives me a chance to have a play with the characters and create something different, obviously with the author's permission. I'm recording one at the moment, which is an MM sci-fi, and one of the characters, oddly enough, called Devlin. No relation. But he's a werewolf, basically. He can, every full moon of one of the moons, he can transform into a werewolf. So I have to give him that edge, but there's more to his character than that. He's more human than he is werewolf. There's a certain debonair character to him, a mischievous, playful side. So he's more... I don't know if you've ever seen the adverts with Tony the Tiger. He's more Tony the Tiger. So you can give him a snarl, but you always have to do it with a smile. So he's always got that little crooked grin to his face as he speaks. And that's important. When I first started doing characterization, I found it... There were challenges with creating different characters, as they would be, unless you're experienced in theatre or acting, which I wasn't, then that is difficult. So what I found handy was actually giving them facial expressions. So each character would have a facial expression, and I would, as soon as that character's dialogue was up, I'd put on that facial expression. So Devlin has a slightly wonky smile. You know, so it's almost like he's being a bit cocky with his grin. He's a bit naughty. He's very naughty. God, Devlin Wilde saying the word naughty, that's a bit tame, isn't it? You'd expect him to have something more than that. But certainly this, it goes across all the characters. You can give them, there's another one in the book, and although he's an ex-gen, well, he is a general in the army, and he's got a very dominant personality, there's a playfulness to him as well. So for him, I just raise my eyebrows, and it takes the mood, takes my mood to somewhere else, and it reminds me which character I'm in. And to be honest with you, when I started doing audiobooks, characterization was the most challenging part. How do you make them all different? How do you make them real? Then I do a demo reel for all the characters, and I send it off to the author so she or he can have a listen and give their approval or ask for changes. Yeah, as is their right, it's their audiobook, not mine. With that sorted, Impaired. Then we do a third read. Now I tend to do third reads in chapter blocks because I read a chapter at a time. The third read through is for one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to mark up the manuscript. So I will read through the book. I will mark for breathing spaces because the written word isn't good for breathing spaces. It's not designed for narration. And I will look for words to accentuate or anything that's difficult to pronounce or unusual. And I will research that and I will put notes actually on the manuscript. So, hey, guess what? This is how you say this word. And then we come to the recording. The recording itself is fairly simplistic. By this stage, you are prepared. You do your vocal warm-ups, you do your exercises, as you do every day as a voice artist, one way or another, because I am. Believe it or not, yes. And then you just record the story. I generally do it in blocks of two or three chapters a time. The reason being is that it's easier to find. If you find a mistake at that stage, you can easily repair it. Recording the whole book, as some people do, it's more difficult to go back and repair it. Because there will be mistakes, there will be bloopers within the audio, which won't be picked up until later, as we will come back to. So the recording of a chapter done. The next stage is proof editing. This is fairly simply reading through the manuscript and listening to make sure that all the words are in the right places, all the pronunciations are correct. And there's no silliness involved, you know, that you've got it right. Everything's in the right place. There will be mistakes. There always are. You know, you read 10,000 words and you try not to fluff a word. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't. And then once that's done, then I have a list of edits. I go back in, I re-record those sections, slot them back into the original audio. God, that made it sound so easy. It's actually a lot easier than it used to be, where they used to cut it out on tape and have to stick the tape together, for those of us old enough to remember tape machines. I know, youngsters won't even know what the hell I'm on about. What's a tape? That done, and everything okay, all the words in the right places, all the pronunciation correct, then it goes forward for mastering, as we call it. This is a technical term, just to take it up to technical specifications. Audiobooks have very stringent technical rules about what levels there need to be, the sound quality, etc. So that needs to be made sure of at that stage. Because of the vagrancies of recording, it's actually a lot more difficult to record a chapter and then master it and then record another chapter in case there's a mistake that you've missed somewhere along the way and you have to go back and undo the whole thing. So we tend to do that on the whole book in one go. Yes, it's a lot quicker. It's a lot easier. Rather than doing it chapter by chapter as we produce, we do the whole book in one go and it's done. And that's it. That's the audiobook. Doesn't sound so exciting anymore, does it? It is, the characterization, the fun. If you've ever thought of recording one, I'd say give it a go. You don't need, You don't need as much equipment as you think. You need a decent microphone to start off with. A Yeti is good. You need something to record on, i.e. a PC, preferably sound treated, which you can get away with some of the lower cost models, shall we say. There's things like the Eyeball, and you can have soundproofing curtains round, etc. There's lots you can do. I'd recommend it. If it's something you'd like to look at as a job, then definitely. For audio work, it's not the best paid audio work, I have to say. But it's the most fun. And it's creative. When you do corporate work, when you do commercials for TV or radio or anything else, they tell you exactly what to say, when to say it. You are only there as a voice. With audiobooks, you have a lot more scope to put your personality in. And that's important. That is very, very important. And as you're probably aware, audiobooks are growing. I believe they're outstripping Kindle now for sales. So there you go. Yes, go out, buy an audiobook. Go on, it's fun. Now, I know you've sent in questions, and thank you for everybody who sent in questions. Just none of them actually pertain to audiobooks. Otherwise, I'd be answering them this week. So I'm going to answer them next week. If you have any questions, then by all means, email me. Devlin@devlinwild.com, and I will do my best to answer them and probably bring it on the show, as long as it's not too strange. So until next Friday, when I can get you back into my recording booth, this is Devlin Wild, wishing you salacious dreams.